It is Dukes and Bell. Hope you guys are having an awesome day. The schedule is here. The schedule is here. It's all official tonight, 8 o'clock. Earlier today, Cynthia Freeland joined us from NFL Network. And it's funny because a couple of our dudes hit us up on Twitter. We don't say X or on the text line. By the way, I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Abe is simply Abe Gordon. A man of simple thoughts.
I tried to get at Abe, but it's taken up by a cartoon dinosaur.
I was going to say Abe Lincoln Historical Society or something. There you go. Catch him on Twitter. And Dady, what do you, if people want to get at you, man, now that you're the brains of the operation?
The D. Lewis, the number four real.
It's all about the D. So, a couple of things with the Falcons. We had Cynthia on, and she was kind of like bullish on the radio. And then come guys went and looked at her projections because she's a big analytics person, and she had the Falcon win total at 7.9. So, I mean, again, in Vegas, you don't get 7.9, you get 7.5. When I was out there, it was before all the free agent moves and the draft moves and everything else. So I got it at 6.5, and I obviously went over on that. But right now, in Vegas, the Falcons' win total over-under is 7.5. So Vegas is not as enamored with Michael Penix Jr. and our new-look defense as we are, Abe.
It's a tough schedule, and it's tough at home, and then easy on the road. And I would love it if it were flipped, right? Because you can... You're probably going to lose a couple road games you could win just because they're on the road. You can't drop at home. And like, what are some of these home games you got, right? Obviously, Tampa. Washington is difficult. I'm trying to think who else.
Well, right now you got one, two, three, four playoff teams coming to our building. Tampa Bay, the Rams, Buffalo, and Washington on the road.
Yeah.
Minnesota was in the playoffs. As we said, we always play Tampa. We know that. And then you're right. It is easier. Arizona was on the cusp. They didn't get there. Colts had issues with quarterback. That's the game in Berlin. We do know, though, we do have to go on the road. We got to play Minnesota and San Francisco, and those will be Sunday night football games on NBC. So we do know that part of it. We do know that we're going to have two Monday night games, and they're going to be at Mercedes-Benz, which I love because it gives you the whole weekend, you know, for college and pro football. Maybe you play golf or do something with the family on Sunday. You're not locked in on the NFL, and then you got the game on Monday. Rams and Bills at Mercedes-Benz. We know that we're at the Vikes in week two. Buffalo, we think, is week six based on what other teams are putting out there on their social media.
There is a full schedule out, and Carl shared it.
Okay.
And it's from a guy I'm not familiar with. On Twitter. So there is a full schedule.
Well, give it to me.
Want to do that? It's a journalistic standard.
If somebody's got it out there, again, yeah, by the way, I'm going to bust Carl's balls because when I'm on vacation, y'all can just pound sand because I'm out of town. But in this case, y'all, I might send some photos of what I'll be at and what I'll be doing. But yeah, somebody, it came from a drawer, and it's ATL Will got his hands on this, and he put it out there.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's roll out with
it. Week one. At home against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Week two, at the Minnesota Vikings Sunday Night Football. Week three, at the Carolina Panthers. Week four, home against the Washington Commanders. Week five, at the Arizona Cardinals. Week six, home against the Buffalo Bills. Are we just home away, home away, home away? That's what it looks like so far.
I'm cool. I'm always cool with that
seven,
rhythm. I love
at
it.
At the 49ers.
Right.
Sunday Night Football. Week eight, the Dolphins at home. Week nine at the New England Patriots. Here's back-to-back road games at New England Patriots and then at the Indianapolis Colts. The bye week, as expected.
And that Colts game is the one in Berlin.
That's
so
correct.
We get the bye week after
right
the trip
there.
To Germany.
Home against the Saints. The first matchup with the Saints in week 12.
That would be is Thanksgiving early this year? That's the 23rd.
I'm not even close to having knowledge of
the
timeline here.
We'll look at that.
At the Jets week 13. Home against the Panthers week 14. At the Buccaneers week 15. Thursday Night Football. Then we get the back-to-back home games. Week 16 against the Seahawks. Week 17 against the Rams Monday Night Football. And we close the season, as we mentioned, in division at the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, by the way, Thanksgiving is the 27th. So that Sunday with the Saints, that would be the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And then November 30th, that would be Thanksgiving weekend, as it were. That would be the Sunday if you're going to basically, why don't you take the kids up to New York and see the tree? And then Radio City, and you go watch the Jets take on the Falcons at MetLife, one of the worst stadiums I've ever seen. They spent a lot of money on that. Very underwhelming, if I'm honest with you. But now you know. So again, it's out there, so we'd be silly not to. Carl put it out there, so they'll yell at Carl. Mike Conte will yell at Carl, not me. I have not posted it. How about that? Because I follow orders or people die, Day-Day. And it was Abe that gave you the schedule. I didn't do that. I didn't do anything. Abe did it, and Carl posted it. The way I see things, I'm clean.
Boy,
right now.
Boy,
time for some dog report. Ain't nobody giving me a strongly worded memo that's CC'd by the Falcons. Not on my watch, pal. You know, I've gone almost 2 years without a suspension. Actually, more than that. How long has Mrs. Terry left? It's over five. It's almost 4.5 years since I've... Well, no. No, actually, that's not true. I've had a suspension. Okay, it's been like less than a year since I've been suspended, but I'm working on it. It's kind of like one of those you see at a factory. It's been 230 days since a work-related incident. Hey, man, why did that dude from Mizzou, Jackson Cantwell, considered the best tackle in high school, go to Miami and not the Dogs? I said it was all about the money. What say you, Jackson?
Well, I think my response to it is it's not the same narrative people like Pete Nakos are pushing right now. I mean, I think there's just a false narrative that that's why I'm choosing. And I think that, I mean, I think relationships won out in Miami. That was kind of what did it for me. I mean, they spent the most time with me. They put the most effort into recruiting me. I mean, I've got a lot of skin in the game with all these schools as far as like getting represented by Drew and making sure that I'm going to be fairly compensated. And I think every school has done a good job of that and being accommodating with that. And I think that anyone who would say otherwise about how I've done my recruitment has been just misled.
Okay, we know that Cristobal is a great recruiter, but are you going to have the same coaching at Miami that you get at Georgia? Now, again, Stacey Searles, I'm not as big a fan as far as where he's at compared to what you had with Matt Luke and, of course, going all back to Sam Pittman, who was just the gold standard. But Miami, to me, Georgia's a machine right now. Georgia is in the playoffs. Georgia's cooking. So if you're going to Miami, it's for the money, bro. So let's not monkey around.
Yeah, what
just say you're going for more money and we can all get on with our lives.
Can he say that?
What, like, he hired Drew friggin' Rosenhaus. I mean, who basically leaves an oil trail anywhere he walks.
Well, and here's,
I mean, so, I mean, yes, it's about the time. And that's fine. By the way, I'm not begrudging him. I'm just saying, just, you know, let's have full disclosure. You did for the money.
I agree with you that he is. But can he say that? Like what he said.
Why can't he?
I don't know. But it feels like you can't say that, right? Doesn't it feel like you can't be honest there?
Hey, I'm going to the NFL no matter where I go, and I'm going for the loot, taking care of my family, making sure my mom and pop, everybody's taking care of Aunt so-and-so, and my daughter, my whatever, who cares? You can do whatever you want. It's a free country, and until they put some guardrails up, this is the world we're living in, and I don't want to sound like, you know, some kind of, you know, George Bulldog fanboy, because, you know, it's his prerogative. I just do think at the end of the day, you are, to a degree, insulting some fans' intelligence because it's about the loot.
To your point, though. It's and again, I wasn't on recruiting trips, and I don't know how he was talked to and treated and all of that stuff. I find it incredibly tough to come up with good arguments for Miami over Georgia in terms of development, in terms of NFL preparation, in terms of competing for a championship, in terms of national recognition, like all of the stuff that a high schooler hopes to become. There's not much of an argument for Miami over Georgia. So the only two I can think of, which you've already pointed out, is the money thing, certainly. Right. And then I still do believe there's probably a chance to start as a freshman at Miami. Maybe there is at Georgia. I feel a little less certain just because of how many good linemen Georgia always seems to have.
With the turnover at the, you know, the offensive line position going to the NFL, I mean, look, I that's my question mark. Because everybody says, yeah, you seem like you're kind of like, you know, a bit bearish when it comes to, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs. I just want to know that Gunnar Stockton is going to be protected, and I don't know what Gunnar Stockton is. You know, I mean, I got a game and a half more for Michael Penix, and I still don't know what he is. To your point the other day, we're hoping, just like Georgia fans are hoping, Gunnar Stockton is the guy. You know, I mean, Gunnar Stockton is a dude with more experience. Even if it's like one throw more than the other guy, that's the guy Kirby's always going to run with.
Well, let's talk about...
And Puglisi apparently didn't assert himself enough in spring football to even be a real competition.
Let's talk about both of them in the same window here, talking about Penix and Gunnar Stockton. Are you asking pretty much the same thing from both? Because now George is in a situation where outside of the quarterback, you can probably out-talent most teams anyways. O-line, D-line, this year for once, your receivers as well. You're probably, and I know, I don't know how you feel about the term, Mike, game manager. You're probably not asking Gunnar Stockton to go out there and lead the SEC in passing and be a Heisman candidate. And if we're going to be honest, I don't know if the Falcons are asking Michael Penix that. I think the Falcons would be incredibly happy if he's, quote, game manager, limiting the mistakes and taking advantage of the guys around him, and then for once potentially letting your defense help you win some games.
So I think in the case of, you made the great argument, in the case of Georgia, you know, you're always turning people over, and you just don't have the depth. Now, the Falcons have got more depth on defense in the edge rush department than we've had in years. We still don't know what some of these guys are, because Carl is a little more bullish, while we're talking Wall Street, on Rook Arororo. And I only saw a half a season from him, so I'm not sure what he is. I think, you know, again, you want him to be the guy because you moved up. He was perceived to be a third rounder. You moved up in the second to get him. You basically said he was one of the top 36 players in the draft 2 years ago. So he better be. And as far as, you know, the rest of it, Braylon Trice, all of a sudden Braylon Trice goes from a chance to be a starter on this team to now looking up at Jalen Walker. You may never get on the field.
He's the biggest wild card of the whole group to me, because we sat there last year and, like, we view him as a first, like, that was the stuff they said. We viewed him as a first rounder, and obviously the injury took away from all of that. He's the biggest wild card, in my opinion.
Hey, man, we got some dates and times, and who's got the broadcast? Syracuse and Tennessee is Saturday, by the way. That's the Saturday component, 2 days of the Chick-fil-A Kickoff Classic at Mercedes-Benz. So that'll be a noon game. Noon games suck. And then Florida State, Alabama. I'll be down in Tallahassee. I wonder if Joe Testador gets that one. Alabama's back. Bet you $500 he says it. As Alabama probably sticks it to the Noles. Alabama is back. By the way, how could Joe do those UFL games? A partisan crowd here in Birmingham getting their money's worth. I'm sorry.
Nightcap on ABC, which also could be, yes, Joe Tessitore, LSU at Clemson.
Yes.
Winner of that game, the quarterback takes the week one lead in the Heisman.
Yes, and the loser coach gets on the hot seat immediately, despite Dabo getting in the transfer portal. They are so over Brian Kelly because he has no charisma. And then Beamer Bowl, that is South Carolina, our buddy Shane going up against the Hokies. What is a Hokie? It's a fighting turkey. So that'll be coming up on Sunday. That's August 31st. That's the second game in Mercedes-Benz with a kickoff classic. We'll come back. Braves win, Braves win. But they made a roster move today that makes Snicker look like a doofus. We'll explain next. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell, this hour of the show, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Yeah! Man, this was like the soundtrack of me flunking out of Florida State, by the way. It really was. They walk. Yeah, man. It really was, man. They talk. Yeah. It's just, sorry. From White Castle to the Nile. Yeah, that was a soundtrack of failure for me, Abe. Beastie Boys, fall of 86 into the winter of 87, a semester and a half. Poof. And my father told me, I told you so. Could have gone to Union College, played hockey, you idiot. I know. He's right. But it all worked out at the end of the day. It all worked out.
Do you ever listen to songs either from an era prior to yours or maybe the era now that is also not yours necessarily and wonder how, like, songs became hits?
I don't know. I mean, to me, Beasties, they stand the test of time. Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction, and Ill Communication was the soundtrack of me in Tallahassee. And that was, I mean, that's it. I mean, that's basically rinse, repeat, day after day.
When I listen to that song, Girls, and I'm just like, how is this a hit? And it was a hit.
But it was a tongue-in-cheek, and they're having fun.
It's like, man.
No Sleep Till Brooklyn was always one of my faves, you know, I mean. But anyway. We move on. Hey, man, it is Abe in for Carl today. And yes, this hour of the show is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We got a really cool event, guys. Just wrapped up Mother's Day weekend. Father's Day is coming. We want you guys to join us at the Lazy Dog Restaurant and Bar in Dunwoody. Celebrating Dad's Day with you, go to 929thegame.com. Click on the contest page, and tell us how you want to treat your dad to a special dinner with the 929 The Game staff. We're all going to be there. And if you want to bring your grandfather or your kid or your coach, whoever that father figure is, sometimes that father figure is your mom. Either way, guys, it's all good. Make sure to enter now for a chance to win. Going to be a lot of fun, guys. And Andy Randy with a special broadcast at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, by the way, on Friday. So we get up there and have some fun. Are we in studio all week this week? No road trip for us? Okay. So, all right, man. Carl will be back next week, and we'll be taking the show on the road. Hey, we'll talk some NBA coming up a little bit later in the program. Big surprise, maybe not. Indiana just blows. Was it a 19-point lead the Cavs blow? And Indiana blows through them in the second half and punched their ticket.
It was funny because I'm trying to remember what my timeline was yesterday. We obviously grabbed dinner. By the time I got home and walked the dog, I think is what it was, I finally got in front of the TV and turned it on. And the Cavs are blowing them out. Like you said, it's like 19 points. Literally from the moment I turned it on.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's because of me. I know people believe that. But from the moment I turned it on, it was all Pacers. They immediately went on that 16-2 run or whatever it was to get back into it. It was just all Pacers. Crazy turnaround.
Hey, real quick, I just got a sidebar to what we're just talking about in in the dog report. Guy Talk is coming up next segment. We were talking about Jackson Cantwell real quick and why he decided, Abe and I were debating, can you get the same juice for the NFL in Miami that you can in Athens? Well, Graham Coffey, who covers recruiting, and he's a co-founder of Dog Central, by the way, he put it out there as a great point. He said that, you know, heard that soundbite where Jackson Cantwell is taking shots of On3 Sports' Pete Nakos. For saying that he was, you know, had the story all wrong about Miami and money. Well, the last guy who accused Pete Nakos of pushing a false narrative was Nico Iamaleva's dad.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we saw also how that went. So I'll go with Pete Nakos, who's friends with Rusty, on this one.
And again, just to further your point from last segment, it's okay to admit.
Yeah.
It's not.
Hey, I appreciate Kirby, you know, and Coach Searles and everybody else who was part of his recruiting process, Coach Bobo. And it's a better fit for me in Miami. At the end of the day, all things being equal, the money was more in Miami. Duh.
Well, let me ask you a follow-up, because now my head's spinning. Do you think, like, Cristobal and the Miami staff were telling him, you can't say that, or else other schools will have ammunition to raise more money, and we won't be? Like, I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, look, the top 25, as we always say, is the top, or, you know, top 30 teams that are on the cusp. If either you pass the hat and you have your NIL stuff in order with your collective until, you know, whatever changes come down the pike, or you don't. I mean, Georgia Tech's finally got the money, men. Everyone's in the same direction. There's no more infighting. Brent's got a vision. They're getting now. They're never going to have as many five stars as Georgia, but they're going in the right direction. So, I mean, look, it, at the end of the day, Miami's got a rich tradition and history. It just they haven't done jack in 20 years.
Yeah, and to your point, Abe, if you're just listening to him talk, when I first heard that soundbite, I was just thinking to myself, like, he sounds like a very well-trained, like, he didn't even sound like a 16-year-old kid.
Right.
He sounded like he was already in college the way he delivered that message. So,
right.
You know, it's obviously he knew this was going to come. And he was going to be needed to be prepared to give an answer.
So again, for the guy that he was calling out, he said, oh, they got it all wrong. That's the same dude that basically had all the insight on what was going on in Tennessee. And again, credit to Josh Heupel saying, hey, pound sand, good luck. And at the end of the day, when do we think of UCLA? Never. You know, and will he be the guy that gets him turned around? We'll find out. But it sure as hell ain't playing in front of, you know, 100,000 people at Neyland Stadium.
I mean, they're at least in the Big Ten now, which certainly helps from that perspective.
With a coach who says it's great. Two great emblems coming together.
Bro, that coach, I mean.
That's that introductory soundbite we have from the Big Ten press conference last year.
Want to talk about the opposite of Cantwell being ready to field that question? The UCLA coach, Foster?
It was ugly.
Yikes.
Hey, man, we're going to talk to Grant McCauley in less than an hour, but last night, a big win for the Braves. They get to the 500 mark. Brian Snitker was talking about Schwellenbach. He gave up a home run on the first pitch of the game to the shortstop, and then he got dialed in. But it's kind of cool because we were all worried about Schwellenbach. He had an amazing start. For a while, he was looking better than Chris Sale, but here is the skipper talking about his starter.
He ran into some, you know, he'd missed place a pitch every now and then when he first got here, and but you know, everything was kind of seamless, and you know, now they're preparing for him and they're aware of him, and those guys talk. I mean, I know our guys, when we run into players from other teams, they like talking about him because it's kind of a rough ride for him, so they're aware of him, and he's going to have to continue adjust as he has.
He's picked it back up, and I know some people probably got a little too far over their skis on his first 3-4 starts. And then there were certainly people who came completely unglued when he had as rough a patch as he's seen in his young professional career. But I think what he's gotten back to is what we're probably going to expect. And any time a guy can go 6 or 6-plus and 3 or less, I'm going to take that. Just give me the – I know it's an old-school stat here, Mike – Give me a quality start.
Right.
6-3 or less, and I'm happy.
Hey, and we had a great job from Kenny Powers, Grant Holmes, and then last night, Schwelly was dialed in. Bullpen was okay. We got Pierce. We said, let's use Pierce Johnson other than Iglesias and let him get a mental health break. No errors. It was just a solid. One of the things I loved last night was, you know, let's go to cut 14 and 15 for those scoring at home. Drake Baldwin, you know, I love this guy. And I'm going to tell you why I'm upset about Snicker in just a second. But here's Drake saying just too much talent, man, for them to be under 500 for as long as they were.
Baseball's a weird sport. I mean, you just have to keep on pushing, keep doing the things you're doing, and eventually balls will fall. I mean, those first two series, it seems like just nothing went our way. And over a course of 162 games, it starts to even out. So just continuing what we're doing, hitting the ball hard. Our pitchers have been incredible as well. So just getting them run support, and, I mean, the offense will start to score more runs here. I mean, there's too much talent here to not let that happen. So it shows we're on the right track.
Before the break, I said a roster. I should have said lineup, Abe. I was rushing to get to the commercial break, but it's a lineup change from a Snicker. The roster change will eventually add Ronald Acuna. We found out yesterday, and Grant McCauley will join us to talk about him coming up to Gwinnett, what that schedule is going to be in Gwinnett, and if you've got tickets for maybe the Red Sox series, maybe that'll be when we see Ronald Acuna, right? 2 weeks?
It might be. Yeah, for Acuna. Sorry, I was thinking ahead to Strider, but honestly, as quick as they moved him up, they're probably pretty pleased with something. They already want him close. Yeah.
Right. But what I don't like with Snicker, it's a lineup move. They're going to take Baldwin, this hot bat, out of the lineup tonight. You just saw the lineup, and it's Murph back in there. That's a mistake. You run, roll the dice with the hot hand, okay? And the hot hand right now is Drake Baldwin, because Murph was hot when he came back, and then he tailed away. He cooled off. I want more, you know, I could use more cowbell. I need more Baldwin.
Yeah, look, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you that it needs to be Murphy because of, like, no. I would have been perfectly fine if they had kept Baldwin in, but I'm also okay with them kind of doing a little bit more splitting of these duties, but that is the one thing I need to see. What I don't want to continue is 4 for Murph and 1 for Baldwin. I want to see a lot more 3-2 or 2-3. And to your other point, I know, why can he play second base? Can he play the outfield? That's not going to happen.
No, but here's the thing. Murph is batting 194 for the month of May.
Yeah.
And this guy's making great contact. There's Ozzy got on base twice. Ozzy, one was kind of a bleeder in the left center. But let's get back and hear Drake, because it was an encouraging effort.
It's definitely very encouraging just the routine I have. And it's encouraging to keep that same routine, because it's been working at the start of the year here. And, I mean, it's been great to be around the guys who are here. A lot of veterans, they just kind of keep you locked in. The coaches have been great, and they've been a huge part to that. To continuing the success I've had.
To further compare and contrast my argument on Murph versus Drake Baldwin, so again, Murph's batting 194 for May. Drake is batting 556 for May. So again, I'm not a big analytics guy, not a big
slight
math guy.
Sample size issues,
one guy batting five. See, for those who don't follow baseball, 500 means you're getting on base half the time you're up. Okay, and not to mention walks. And then 194 would mean that basically 2 out of 10, you're getting on base. So I would go with freaking Drake Baldwin, Snicker. Are you doing?
Can I sell you on this? If you were going with Drake Baldwin, he has to bat fifth, and you only can hit him fifth. But off the bench, in key moments, he could come in and hit sixth,
right,
or seventh, eighth, ninth. I'm just saying, it's been a while since we've had good, reliable bat off the bench.
This is Alex Anthopoulos' do-over for blowing the Contreras trade, because this guy rakes. Get him in the freaking lineup. I mean, come on, man. Murph?
He caught 2 games in a row, did Baldwin. Yeah. If tonight's the one-off, that's fine.
Hey, and I'll give whatever you feel the defensive liability is with Baldwin at this stage of his career, or handling pitchers, so be it. Let's go. Get him out there, man. It's Elder on the bump tonight. Maybe that has something to do with Murph behind the dish.
Well, it was because of who they've got, righty lefty, the thing. But
baloney.
You don't always buy another righty lefty split.
Come on, Drake. Again, 556 for the month, 194 for the month. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I do know a little bit about that math. Hey, man, this hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. We'll come back in Guy Talk. I got a couple of things for you, including, I got notes. Rory keeps getting asked about him and DeChambeau and their lack of conversation at the Masters. Why is that a thing? And have you seen some of the previews for the new Madden movie? You're not going to believe who they cast and how it looks. We'll explain coming up next. Yeah, man, we got the Falcon Report coming up at 5. We've put together the entire schedule, basically, through hook or crook, and some folks have leaked some information. I mean, I don't know why, you know, they make such a big rigmarole, because it's the NFL, because everything they do is gold. You know, I mean, everything you wrap around the National Football League, people are going to watch. So, obviously, big ratings for NFL Network, ESPN tonight doing the schedule release, where, you know, 25 years ago, it was like, oh, schedule's out. Now it's just, you know, it's become another event. Everything the NFL does, they just kind of parcel it out from, like, the combine to the free agency to the draft and then the draft itself and then schedule release, minicamp. NFL's always in your collective, so the collective consciousness of American sports fans.
Yeah, this one's gotten ruined, though. I don't know if it's just me in over... It feels like more this year than in previous years. We used to get a couple of leaks, right? Mm-hmm. A couple of the nationally televised games and a couple of international games would leak out. But it feels like at this point, almost every team's entire schedule has been leaked one way or another, which leaves the shows themselves, the 8 o'clock schedule release special, whatever. That's now irrelevant. I have no interest in watching that. What I will watch is... a couple of the social media experiences, right? I'm sure that everyone's had the real race is not about the schedule. It's about who can win the right. viral schedule meme.
Yeah, so. The Falcons did such a great one a couple of years ago when they did the Game of Thrones theme, which I thought was just brilliant in the way they had all the opponents kind of popping up like the original Game of Thrones opening. The one that went viral that everybody has sort of said is that's the one. Is the one where you have the man on the street or the woman on the street in Nashville that the Titans came together with that was just so clever. And they just kind of lucked into it and they had fun with it. It was tongue-in-cheek because people were misidentifying the logos and it was great.
So let's do a real quick exercise. Is there anything in terms of like viral videos right now that you think that you can think of that a team probably is co-opted for a schedule release? I have one.
Okay.
Like you guys remember a couple of weeks ago, they had that fitness influencer that did his like daily schedule where he wakes up at 4 and dips his face into the ice. And
right.
I would imagine someone has co-opted that in some sort of manner.
Okay.
I'm trying to think like what other. And I watch a lot of these nonsense. I'm not on TikTok, but I do see like IG Reels or YouTube Shorts or whatever. I'm trying to think like what else might be on there that is somewhat predictable. I can think of that daily routine. I can see that being one.
Okay.
Nothing else really pops into my head.
I mean, I think there's certain like, you know, moments in time and you're like, you know, and you tip your cap and go, okay, that was clever. And they went back to it and just didn't have the same juice the second time they tried it with Tennessee.
Right. Yeah, and
went back to the well, and it just didn't. It just have the right people offering the kind of like silly stuff, which kind of morphed into it.
You know? You can't run it back,
right?
Like it,
right?
You got to be creative. I mean, it's unfortunate for the people who work in those departments that they're like, this was a great idea. Unfortunately, it's now wasted for next year.
Right, but we'll see because every year somebody does say, hey, that PR department, they nailed it. So we'll keep an eye on that coming up tonight on social media. Hey, man, Rory and DeChambeau, not sure if they'll lock horns as far as the PGA Championship, which is coming up next at Quail Hollow. It begins on Thursday. Now, today in his press conference, they keep asking Rory about this stuff. They asked Bryson. Initially, they came up and they were asking Bryson, how much did you talk to Rory? And Bryson gave an honest answer. This is after the Masters and said, he didn't say a word to me. And that was Rory's plan with his team because everybody has a team now. You got your swing coach, you got your sports psychologist. And look, I know we kind of roll our eyes at that, but Rory was, you know, off in the wilderness. He went 11 years between championships and he finally got the right stuff. And he did, you know, have to go to a playoff to win it, but he got it done. But Rory takes to the podium and they're asking him about, you know, why you didn't say anything. I don't know why the media, it's like Generation P, and you know what the P stands for. It's like, yeah, he's a warrior. He's trying to get into a headspace where he's locked in, you know, in the zone, you know, whatever you want to call it. And he doesn't want to be Gabby. And I don't think DeChambeau really cares about it either because DeChambeau is kind of like, let's be honest, he's kind of in the spectrum himself. He's kind of like a Phil meets Asperger's on steroids. So I don't think he really wants to be blabby either way. But when Roy took the podium, he goes, I don't know what he was expecting, you know? That's it. But, you know, people kept pushing Rory, and so next thing you know, this becomes a thing. Do you really care that Rory wasn't talking to anybody, let alone Bryson, on Masters Final Round Sunday?
Look, I know we could talk about Ryder Cup and at times Olympics or whatever. This is an individual sport. Like, these guys don't have to be friends.
Right.
Like, at least in just to take a page out of one of your fandoms, in racing, you have your team that includes other drivers. You need to be cordial with those drivers, right? It's an individual sport. I don't know why we feel the need to force these guys to interact and be friendly. Like, they play the game, they win, they lose, they move on with their lives. It's not that big a deal.
Right. Rory says, hey, man, we're trying to win the Masters. I'm not trying to be his best mate, I think. Everyone approaches the game in different ways, and yeah, I was focused on myself and my lucky charms and what I needed to do. Well, I'm sorry, Dave. I'm just doing the Rory voice. But yeah, and that's it. But the media just kept pressing. And by the way, the golf media is just, it's like, really? Just, they got nothing to ask, but like, so on that approach shot, you went with a hybrid, not your 8-iron. You know, it's all they've got. So they just get something like this, they're just going to milk it for all it's worth.
Unless, yeah.
Then the LIV stuff, of course, LIV versus PGA and, you know, Brandel Chamblee and all that. And of course, Bryson's bad because he took money and, ooh, and you wouldn't walk across the street for 4 times your freaking salary, right?
Now, there's a comment where people are like, yeah, I went there for the money. Man, right. They were able to say that when it was LIV.
Right. So I'm like, good for Rory. Can he build on it? I did see a couple of numbers. The defending PGA champion, Xander Schauffele, is 20-1 right now. So there's some value for Xander. Rory's a favorite. Rahm is kind of in that mix. Bryson as well. We'll talk more about the odds tomorrow right here on Dukes and Bell. Hey, man, the Madden movie. Adede, have you seen this? Because Abe already saw it. Have you seen the coming attractions for the Madden movie? It's Amazon, right? Or is it Apple?
I forget now.
Yeah, I feel like I saw the teaser trailer.
I just posted it at Mike Bell ATL. It is going to be Amazon MGM's Madden. And the reason I brought this up, when I heard about this, Carl and I talked about this a few months ago, that Nicolas Cage was cast to play John Madden. And I was like, how in God's green earth is that going to happen? You know? But it looks amazing. He's, whether it's a fat mask or how they did this, he put some size on. He looks like Madden. I can't wait to see what this is going to look like. And Christian Bale can freaking play anyone. Christian Bale looks exactly like Al Davis. You're a little worried about this because they've had some actors and some directors and producers attached to the project and they dropped off.
Yeah, it just, this happens in movies sometimes, and you see guys get attached that get you excited, and then they eventually pull away from the project. For one reason or another, this has happened a number of times. This is a movie that was supposed to be put together like 4 years ago, and it's just gotten delay after delay after delay. It does seem to be picking up some traction finally now, but anytime some of these movies get pushed back, or a lead kind of falls away from it, you just kind of got to wonder why or what happened there.
Right.
This had multiple episodes of that.
Remember they had that, was it Monday Night Mayhem? That was the one that was at TNT. Did John Turturro played Howard Cosell? The best Howard Cosell I've seen is John Voight in Ali. I thought he was great. I mean, we had John Voight in studio years ago when I was working with Steak at the old 790. And John Voight, man, I mean, all actors are insane. I mean, some more than others. But, I mean, the depths and the work that he goes to get it, I just thought he nailed it. So I just love those scenes when he's just, you know, when he's working with Ali off mic and then on camera. I just thought it was gold. Anyway, I just brought it up because it's amazing to initially figure, how the hell is, you know, Nicolas Cage going to be Madden? Well, I don't know if he's going to sound like him, but he's going to look like it. Talk about the transition from Madden's burnout with the Raiders to eventually Monday Night Football and then how the Madden game got created.
And I think you just hit on what's going to be a make or break thing for this movie is how he sounds. Because
right.
I think people will be a little bit more forgiving if, oh, he doesn't look identical and all that, and you can only do so much for makeup, but a guy looks how he looks. We understand that. I think how he sounds, though, because it's Madden and because the voice is so iconic, I think it's got to be spot on.
Right.
And that is a... Nick Cage is not the greatest actor we've seen. You know what I mean?
Well, he's won a freaking Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas.
Okay.
I mean, it's just the last 20 years have been crap. Now, you know the story. He got into debt, and he started taking every role that came down the pike. And he's made more movies than Michael Caine at this point.
Okay, look. I know you're going to try and fight me on this, but we don't have to fight on this.
I'm not saying I'm going to go watch Bangkok Dangerous, but I mean, Leaving Las Vegas was pretty darn good.
It's fine.
He's in his niche as far as action stars. Put the bunny in the box.
It's one of my favorite movies. But it's still Nick Cage.
Do you think Nicolas Cage is a hack? Have you seen the new one where he goes with the guy from Last of Us?
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, the unmistakable weight of massive, right. Unmistakable talent, whatever.
He basically plays himself, and he plays himself as an egomaniac, and he gets hired by a crime lord to go spend a week with him.
Well, I was actually listening to Nick Cage on a podcast the other day about one of his newer movies, which name just escapes me. Mm-hmm. But he talked about how like certain characters he's drawn to playing and what right. connects with him. I just think that's tougher when it's a human and you don't really have the literary license to take a character in a certain direction. You have to do right. what that human actually did. You have to sound like what he actually sounded like.
But he has a range. I mean, because he can do comedy. He was great in Raising Arizona.
Yes, he was.
One of my favorite Coen Brothers movies. We already talked about Leaving Las Vegas. Look, I thought Face Off is a great flick. I mean, Face Off is, I mean, yes, it is what it is, but it's still, it's entertaining. And they pull it off. Travolta and him pull it off.
In that era, there's
you
got to
do a John Travolta impression yeah. basically the whole movie.
There's a bunch of them in that era that I really liked.
The Rock and The Rock.
I like The Rock. I like Con Air. I like Snake Eyes.
I'm a chemical like super freak.
Gone in 60 Seconds. Like, yeah. there's a lot of movies I like, but I also like I mean, look, I like a lot of Fast and Furious movies. I'm not out here yeah. trying to give Vin Diesel the best actor award.
All right. Wild at Heart was a good Nicolas Cage movie. Valley Girl, take it all the way back. I love that line. I used to use it all the time. Oh, bitchin', is this movie in 3D? No, but your face is. Sorry, just me. It's a child of the 80s. Child of the 80s. By the way, right now we got to wrap. Well, speaking of movies, I said over the weekend, other than the Braves, it was kind of a slow, you know, sports weekend. Mm-hmm. Other than golf and watching a little bit of IndyCar. So I basically whipped through all of Band of Brothers on HBO. Mm-hmm. I went back, and maybe you already know this, Abe, but for the audience, you go back and see how much young talent that Spielberg's production company and Tom Hanks' production company, the casting of that, you got a young, like, Tom Hardy, a young, was it McAvoy, who went on to play the Dr. X, you know, the X-Man?
Professor
you know,
X, yeah.
Professor X. You got, who am I forgetting? Michael Fassbender's in it. It's unbelievable. All these young, these guys are all playing, like, basically like 19 to 20-year-olds in the 101st.
Some of my favorite stuff to do is, like, go back and rewatch these sort of ensemble cast shows or movies and be like, man, look at, like, how many of these guys are now some of our biggest stars.
Right. One of the best ones or originals is always going to be The Outsiders for me.
Yeah,
as those type of ensembles right. of young guys.
From a movie perspective, that group of the 80s, sure. But right. for a newer generation, the cast of Freaks and Geeks.
Okay. Please, let's go back to The Outsiders. Please.
Oh, I love that movie, man.
Remember Matt Dillon? Don't you know better than start a rumble without me?
Yeah.
I'm so she's. We do it for Johnny, man. We do it for Johnny. On that note, that's it. There's your guy talk. With some bad hand-bone impressions today, man. We'll come back. Falcon Report. We got the whole schedule, man. We put this together ourselves. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. That's Carl's job. If you need a visual aid, check out Carl's Twitter handle. That's put him up, C-Dukes. We'll come back. Got the whole schedule. We'll break it down.